Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Get into the book.
On the POV Book Review.
Kaya959.
All right, so it is one of our favorite features. And today we have an author who's going to help us review some of his collection of books that he's reading at the moment. His name is Alistair McKay. If the name rings a bell, well, we've spoken about Alistair's book. I don't know if you remember when we had a conversation. I can't remember now who I was talking to, but we've reviewed one of his books. I think it was The Lucky Ones that we reviewed. It's a collection of short stories. Delightful, just absolutely delightful. But I think what we're going to do is we are going to invite Alistair into studio one of these days to have a proper review of his books, because he's got a really lovely collection. But today we're going to talk about his collection, what he's reading at the moment. So Alistair is an author of a novel called It Doesn't Have to Be This Way, that was published around 2022. I've also just told you about The Lucky Ones, that was one of his latest books, and many other books. And I think the other one, if I recall, is The Child. Yeah, The Child was also published around 2024. A beautiful writer. So really, really privileged to have him on the line. Alistair, thank you so much for making time for us. Good evening and welcome.
Good evening, Pamela. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's so nice to be here.
We really
thanks for saying all those lovely things about my books.
We're really delighted to have you. And I said to my producer, oh my goodness, he's willing to share with us what he's reading. And of course, your list is very impressive.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, and I really liked it. Let's start with Sven. Sven obviously is a local writer. Nicotine,
yes.
Gospel. Gosh, what a lovely. I mean, he is real in so many ways. So his writing obviously reflects the fact that he's such a real writer, and I think he pours himself completely into what he's writing. What was your impression of the Nicotine,
yes,
Gospel?
Absolutely. I think Sven is an amazing writer. As you mentioned, he's a local author from Durban. Mm. This is his third novel. His first two novels were set in a fictional world called Vivo. Mm. But this one, The Nicotine Gospel, is set in Durban, partially in Durban and partially on a road trip through to Cape Town. Mm. And I just thought it was such a beautifully done book. It's sort of about these two brothers and their relationship, mm, and about brotherly love and the tenderness between them. Mm. And they lose their mother when they're very young. Mm. She's struck by lightning. Mm. And they lose their mother, and their father descends into a kind of madness. Mm. And in trying to cope with the loss, he invents what he calls the Nicotine Gospel, which, yeah, is his gospel that he preaches to his children, mm, whereby he says that you can tell everything you need to know about a person by what cigarettes they smoke.
Yeah.
And so the little boys sort of throw themselves into this because they want to be closer to their father. Mm. And so on one level, this book is quite funny, and a lot of the way that Sven writes is really funny, but it's also the sort of, the more you get into the story,
so
the more sad you realize it is, you know, that, yeah, that what's going on beneath the surface of this like quite lighthearted thing about cigarettes is actually sort of a story about grief and how we cope,
yeah,
with loss.
And I mean, you point to a thing that I think all of us across cultures, we really struggle with grief in many ways, you know. It's one of those things that is just so difficult to pin down, to explain, and because it manifests in so many different ways and over different time periods, it's just so elusive, it's difficult, and all of those things. He does a beautiful take on how he reflects on the complexities of grief. And I think, yeah, I'm not a smoker, but I could relate to smokers, if you know what I mean. I get what connects smokers. I totally get it.
Absolutely. So, you know, I was with Sven on a panel earlier in the year, and he was telling the audience that he actually started smoking for this book, research for the book. He started smoking. So he can fully understand the psychology of that.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful ritual that smokers enjoy. They get to share a moment together, you know. And often it's a way of approaching somebody else, which all of us who don't smoke find quite awkward. We find it difficult to sort of just go up to a stranger and strike up a conversation with them. But if you ask for a light, you've suddenly got an in and you can talk about it.
But I've also found that, and I mean, as I said, I'm not a smoker, but what I've found really interesting is how smokers know how to ask for a light without saying anything.
Yeah.
So I've just watched people exchange the light, but I didn't hear anybody ask for a light.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
so interesting, and it's just, as I said, across class, across race, yeah, across cultures,
yeah,
and people,
yeah,
find a little corner. And I've always wondered, you know, what exactly do they talk about? And I,
yeah,
I suspect, you know, this is a window into a little bit of that world as well.
Totally. And also, as you mentioned, the sort of a lot of the unspoken stuff, it's wonderful how they communicate without speaking. And
yeah,
I think that's also what's so beautiful about this book, the stuff that comes through indirectly, you know, about childhood and,
yeah,
and our imaginations as children, and all of that stuff just comes through so beautifully in this
I'd
book.
Say this is a really, really good book for men. I mean, not to say that women cannot enjoy it, but I find men don't speak like women speak, you know, they don't open up the way we do, and they don't tell everybody I'm grieving, you know, how we sometimes,
yes,
just overshare.
Yeah.
They don't do that. But it's a way, I think, if for a man to identify with other men and their pain and how, you know, they can, I suppose, share in all of that. I think it's beautiful. I really think it's a beautiful, beautiful take on grief.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think that's exactly what it's doing. It's kind of for people who struggle to express that, and because grief expresses itself in such strange ways and such bizarre behavior sometimes. So it really delves into that.
Okay, and then our next one is All Fours by Miranda July, and this is US-based. The protagonist is in California, and this one is an interesting one because, Alistair, I thought, okay, the protagonist is a very deep thinker, very thoughtful, and it kind of takes you on this journey. And for a while, you think this is just another woman. This is just another great, fantastic woman. and then we get to see all of her.
Yeah.
And especially in the end when you say, oh, that's what it is. I thought it allows us room and space to embrace parts of ourselves that I think generally culture, literature, music does not give us space to embrace as men. And I think it's different. If this were a male protagonist, I think we would all accept this. But I think it just kind of was, in parts, not uncomfortable, but sort of... You wonder, is that what a good woman does, kind of thing, and it makes you think about that, and I think it was wonderful in that way.
Absolutely, I think you hit the nail on the head with that one, Pamela. I think I absolutely loved this book. I know lots of people who absolutely hated this
book.
I think they call it a Marmite book, right? You know,
really?
Like Marmite.
Yeah,
some people love it, and
yes,
some people hate
yes,
it.
Yes.
So, and so because the main character, she's so unusual, I suppose. And she is very thoughtful, as you say, and very intelligent. And she starts making really bizarre decisions. And she sort of blows up her life in a way, you know. And she tells her husband that she's going on a road trip from Los Angeles to New York. But she doesn't go on that road trip. She just drives 40 minutes down the road and rents a motel room and redecorates the motel room, spends all her money decorating the motel room as if it's a hotel in Paris, and has this bizarre relationship with a younger man that's not really, it's not really an affair. It's more just like this obsession. And I think what I love so much about the narrator of this book is, I think it's what you're saying as well, is that she sort of gives voice to a lot of the things that we never say out loud, and maybe a lot of the things that we don't even admit to ourselves,
yeah,
you know, the things that we keep very private, a lot of our most inner, most private urges and yearnings. And, you know, sometimes we have quite destructive thoughts and we don't give in to them. And this character does give in to them. And so there's something quite cathartic about just seeing that play out, you know, letting it take action, all these thoughts that we have swirling in our heads all the time.
And then there's something quite amazing when science meets you and says it's okay, we have a solution,
yes,
and there's a reason why you've got these strange thoughts, and maybe you're not alone.
Yes. Absolutely, yes. So, yeah, so it turns out that part of the reason why she's behaving so bizarrely is that she's perimenopausal, which explains a lot of what she's feeling and why she feels so unhinged and so unstable. But I don't love that people call this a menopause book, because I think it is one, and I suppose hopefully it does make people feel less alone, as you said. But I also almost think that pigeonholes it and says that this is an experience that's only relevant to people who are maybe going through menopause or perimenopause. But I really don't think it is. I think it has much broader appeal than that.
You know what, Alyssa, for me, that was my only criticism, in the sense that I didn't know that I wanted to commit all of that to perimenopause. I didn't know that I wanted it to be the reason we have had this wonderful exploration of what is possible, what is possibly going on in our heads, what we feel, and all of that. I wasn't sure that the excuse was, it just felt a little bit like a cop-out, you know what I mean? Like, no, that bit, it's only for those people. This all of this belongs to that group of people. And it's like when for many, many years, for decades, you may know, every time a woman would feel a particular way, they would say, oh, no, you must be in your period, or, oh, don't worry about her. You know, she's going through that time of the year, that time of the month. So it, for me, a little bit like, felt a bit like that, like, ach, no, we've just pigeonholed her. She's just fallen into that pigeonhole of being classified as elderly, perimenopause, that's how we explain that.
Yes, absolutely. And then you don't have to think about it so much. You can just write it off and just say, oh, well, that's not relevant, or that's not important, you know? When I think there's something very human about her experience and her desires and trying to find a way to express them.
Yeah, so that was my little... And I don't even know if, you know, if it's a criticism that stays. I'll have to think about it. I'm not sure. You know, I don't know. Okay, then Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie was it 10 years that you couldn't write, she said?
Yes.
10 years.
Yes, it's been 10 years since Americana,
And I do know that she had written, it's a very short, story on grief. And I think she had lost both her parents at a time when she wrote that, but that was specific to that. But this is probably one of the most anticipated novels of this year.
Absolutely, it is. Yeah, those of us who love Chimamanda's writing have been waiting, as you said, 10 years, and there was a lot of fanfare about this book. And I have to say, actually, when I first read it, when I first started reading it, I was a little bit disappointed, because it's expectations are just so high after waiting for so long for something from a writer that you love.
Yeah.
It's almost impossible for someone to meet those expectations.
Yeah. And it's one of those books, it's slow on the offtake, right? It's a bit slow, and it takes its time. You know, the temper is rather mellow. And I think you're right. Because there's such an expectation, you kind of wanted, where are we going with this? But after about the halfway markish, I then came to the realization it's such a poignant book for this moment, for this very moment. This is such a very, very important book. We just have to look at what we spoke about earlier in Benenge's case to thread in some of what happens in this book. And you could point to many, many other things that are happening in the world and say, this is a moment where sometimes books don't meet the time. This one does.
Yes, yes. Absolutely. I agree with you completely. And once I got to that halfway mark as well, I that storyline really spoke to me. And I think it is so important for today.
Yeah.
So the way the book is structured, it's kind of like four novellas, you know, four different
stories.
Women each get their own story. And I think part of the problem is that it's kind of bookended by Chiamaka's story in the beginning and at the end. And she has the least going on in her life. You know, her section is set during COVID, and she's sort of reminiscing about past boyfriends and past relationships, which is the dream count. It took me a while to figure out what she meant by that. But it's, you know, each relationship represents a dream of what your future could be. But then when we get into the later storylines of Kariatu in particular, which is, I think, the one you're referring to, the Guinean woman living in the US, and what happens to her, it is very, it's just, I couldn't put the book down. I wanted to just rush home and keep reading every time I had to go and do something. I just wanted to get back to the book, because it's so tense and so, Yeah,
and I think the brilliance in how she tells the story. Now, of course, I mean, she's a fantastic writer, so the structure is great, the writing is great. But I think it's being able to tell a story, and the nuance of things that we cannot always have a clear answer to as society. You see the Diddy case, for instance, and you know, those difficult nuances, you know, were they right charges to have for him? How do you feel? Which side do you take? And we want to commit to sides. I mean, as people, we do that. We are doing that now with the Mbeninga case. But I think she's brilliant in really talking to the complexities of how these things affect us as people and how they can be so murky, you know, and so difficult sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things I love most about fiction and reading books is that you're in someone's experience and in someone's head. Mm. And so things seem so different when you change perspective from the one character to the other character, because these characters all know each other. Mm. And you see them from outside, from their friend's perspective or from, you know, and it's so different from what's going on in their own head. As you said, the moral complexity of that is so interesting.
Yeah.
Because one of the storylines as well, the one character that I was loving, Omologo, who works in finance in Nigeria and then goes to the States to visit her friend and study there. I was rooting so hard for her, and I loved her, and I thought she was so interesting and compelling. Mm. But she's also sort of complicit in a whole lot of corruption that's going on in Nigeria. Mm. And yet you sort of, it was a very complicated feeling. As you said, it's very nuanced because I really liked her and I was rooting for her, but I also thought what she was doing was very morally gray.
Yeah.
And you have to just hold both of those facts in your mind at the same time, you know? They don't cancel each other out, but they don't resolve either.
No, so in that way, I think she has redeemed herself. She's back, you know, Chimamanda.
Yes.
She's back.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think this is, you know, just go through it. Go through it. I know the beginning is slow. Just go, and it will suddenly, you know, the penny will drop, and you really will thank us for it. Our next book is Show Me the Place.
Show Me the Place. Yes. So this is a beautiful collection. It's another local book. It's by the author is Hedley Twyvil. He is a Cape Town writer. I think he's the head of English actually at UCT at the University in Cape Town. And this is a collection of essays, which I don't often read collections of essays, but I got interested in this because I'm quite an anxious person, and I often feel like the world seems very unstable and quite scary these days. Mm. And the whole idea with this book is that it's trying to find utopia. It's trying to find a place, Show Me the Place, where we can feel, you know, peace again or hope again. And so it's an interesting collection because some of them are very, very personal stories from his own life. He writes a particularly beautiful essay on his mother's dementia. Mm. But then there's also stuff about utopias and how societies build utopias and what goes wrong with utopias. And then there's also some very funny pieces where he kind of explores, he travels to some intentional communities where people are trying to build communities that don't have any conflict in them, or where people prioritize spirituality, and he sometimes shows how even within those communities there are sometimes funny and strange things that happen. It was an unusual read for me, but I think he's done a beautiful job. I think it's just exquisitely written, and it's got a nice blend of feeling hopeful but also being realistic and a mix of humor and feeling really just profound sadness at certain aspects of life, which I think is very difficult for a writer to pull off, to get that balance of like humor and insight and a whole lot of feeling in it.
Yeah.
And I think he's done a beautiful job of that.
I'm currently really into essays and short stories because who's got the time?
Yes, exactly.
Who's got the time? So that's exactly why I liked your The Lucky Ones. Who's got the time? And so if you don't have the time to sit through a novel, and maybe you know your attention doesn't stay for very long, this is one of those. Mm. Show Me the Place is really wonderful, and I'd really recommend it as well. Call and Response is our next one.
So that's also great for people who don't have a lot of time, who are feeling frazzled and they want to get back into reading, because that's a short story collection. Mm. The author is from Botswana, Hotatone Moeng. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was a stunning collection of stories. They are a lot of the stories are quite open-ended, which I know not everybody loves. I saw on Goodreads some people were getting quite angry about the fact that the stories
that's
were
exactly how it should
open-ended.
Be. That's exactly how it should be.
I think that, yes, that's what life is like. Yes. Life doesn't resolve itself in neat, perfect ways, you know. And for me, a lot of these stories really haunted me and stuck with me because they didn't resolve in a neat way, because it's an unresolved thing that you can't let go of. It's like a conversation that you keep thinking about, you know.
And if a writer can make you take it and make it your own and engage with it further, that's exactly what it's supposed to happen.
Yeah, exactly. And so this was just an incredible collection. A lot of the stories are about, you know, ordinary women in Botswana. A lot of them are about people who feel torn between tradition and modernity, rural life and city life. Some of the women are very frustrated. Some of them are resigned. Some of them are very defiant. I just thought the characters were so memorable. And it's also strange reading a book set in Botswana. I've never been to Botswana, but in some ways it was so interesting and felt quite new for me. And then other references are so familiar to us in South Africa, you know, like Five Roses Tea and a lot of things overlap quite a lot with South Africa. So it was this an enjoyable experience from that point of view as well.
Listen, Alistair, it was lovely, lovely chatting. And I will look forward to having a full conversation with you on your books this time. So really, thank
that
you
would
for
be
this
wonderful.
Collection. Thank you for this this collection, and thank you for your contribution. Really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Thank you. Alistair McKay is an author of several books, but currently I think maybe at bookstores you'll get The Lucky Ones. We've spoken about that one before. Many others, It Doesn't Have to Be This Way is another. And The Child, wonderful, wonderful one as well. So looking forward to our conversation as soon as we can get him in studio. That's it for our show for tonight. We are back tomorrow at 8.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.